podcast is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe, Algonquin territory. This podcast is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Bonfire. Welcome, bienvenue, another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien, Big Daddy Labrador. Hey. All right, today's date is May 31st, 2026. Wow. Right. Jews just tomorrow. And we're at episode 345. Yay! And in today's episode, I'll be talking about how I'm going to try to make my final say without saying fuck Kevin Hart. Or I'm going to deceive you. Yeah, no, I mean it. My attempt is to not say fuck Kevin Hart like I'm saying right now. All right? No fuck Kevin Hart. We will not be saying that in the final say because we are a mature podcast. So we won't be saying fuck Kevin Hart, but. I'll explain. And before we do any of that, we're going to start with some quotables and some randomness. Yeah. Right. Just getting organized. When I read these summaries at the beginning, it's meant to create a bit of suspense. But whatever, it's my goddamn podcast. All right, okay. First quote. It's right. We're doing quotables. First one goes: White America hates. Excuse me. White America doesn't hate racism enough. It hates being called racist. That's why black pain gets treated like a debate, and white discomfort gets treated like an emergency.
Message.
Surprised I didn't hit like. And then the last one for quotables, it's everything that irates us about others can lead to an understanding of ourselves.
Message.
Oh, that was beautiful. Yeah, deep. Again, all this will relate to today's final say. Okay, that's it for quotables. Let's start with randomness.
So, you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Okay, first randomness. On my desk is a copy of the book The Rage of Dragons by Evan Winter. Yes, the physical book. Yes, the same book I talked about in previous episode and the same book I've been, I guess you can say I've been dick riding. No, I've been enjoying, I've been enjoying, right? I'm laughing because I'm thinking, yeah, part of being a hetero male is always have to it's not enough to say that I appreciate a man's writing. I said, no, I've been dick riding this nigga. All right, okay. And grow up, B-Black. All right, so, and the only reason I bring it up is because one is to talk about this thing called the library. Have you guys heard? So it's this place that's got a shitload of books and they're not for sale. And these motherfuckers let you borrow it. And of course, you got to give it back, but you know, how does no one know about this shit? Okay, I'm kidding. I'm amazed because I was able to find a copy of this book in the library. So I borrowed it instead of buying it like I usually do and then run out of space to place books. Yeah, back in the days, during my less enlightened days, I used to buy books to put on the shelves so chicks would notice it. And I would think that they would be like, oh, man, this nigga reads books. You know what I mean? And then it's never worked. It doesn't work. But whatever. Library. Yes. So I went to the library, picked up the book. And the only reason I bring it up is because I talked about how when I first read The Rage of Dragons, I mentioned how it was hard for me to follow what the fuck was going on. And it's why it took me a while before I actually got into it. And I realized, now that I see the physical book, there's a lot of shit in there that would have been fucking helpful. Okay, so I forgot to mention that I consumed the audiobook. But the physical book In there, there's like a map, which would have been helpful. And after the prologue, when you get to chapter one, the beginning of the first story, in big bold letter, they put, what's the word they use? They put 186 cycles later. So that's, again, while I was listening to the audiobook, I missed the part that there was a time jump between the prologue and the main story. And most important of the all, at the back of the book is a motherfucking glossary. Glossary. In French, on dit glossaire. And shit, that would have been very helpful. Look, again, I'm not complaining. But I am going to say, you know, would I kill these motherfuckers to put out like a PDF version of this information? Wouldn't it? Anyways, yeah. So, again, I'm encouraging y'all to, if you guys are into sci-fi fiction, this is a book that I would recommend. And I'm also suggesting to read the book because...
Y'all motherfuckers need to gangbang them books.
Gangbang them books. All right, kids? Gangbang them books. Be Black Setzel.
So, you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right, I feel the need to share with you. I've said it before, but I still feel the need to share with you that my process when I come up with a final say that I'm really emotional about or have a lot of thoughts, complicated thoughts about it, right? And I would not have been successful doing that without AI. I use AI the same way some writers use a notebook, a writing partner, or a therapist. I throw ideas at it, argue with it, figure out what I actually think, and then write from there. I bring it up because I know there's a lot of people who are anti-AI, and it's like, I kind of, with like full disclosure, if I would rather you find out now, rather you heard it from me on this podcast than from someone else, so I stopped listening to Shut Up Podcast because found out that they're into that AI shit. And I don't know, I guess I believe it's the way of the future. If you're one of those people who always got A in writing or who doesn't struggle getting a thought onto paper, good for you. You're blessed. But the rest of us, we need tools. We need tools. This motherfucker, what's that quote by Kanye? Something about hidden gems inside. And this motherfucker is like a shovel for me. Anyways, I say all this because today's final say, I'll be reading something that I wrote, like a script. The same thing that I did with the previous episode, right? And I guess I bring it up because I remember the last time I read it, the last episode that I did about not talking about Cheyenne Bryant again, and I did. It was something that I read, but I remember like it's like I was performing. I felt like I was performing, and sometimes I would stumble on my words, and it's like, how are you stumbling on your own words? And it's because that I wrote the shit and then used AI to like iron it out. There, full disclosure. Felt the need to put it out. Yeah, man. If you're like me, I used to journal a lot as a kid. I didn't think it was journaling. I just was like, I have this annoying thought and I need to put it down on paper. I used to write down shit a lot. I like to buy little notebooks and just write shit. Sometimes I keep these notebooks. A few went away. Like if I went into my storage room, I would find notebooks, and it's like with my bad handwriting. And sometimes it's things that it would rarely be things that I would reread. And when I would reread them, sometimes I'd be like, I would catch on. And sometimes I'd be like, what the fuck was I smoking when I wrote this shit? And with AI, I use it to iron out, to like, okay, help me make this thought more presentable. And what I was going to say is, if you're the journaling type and you've been journaling for yourself and you find yourself and you know some of those books have gems, but you've been too nervous to to put it out into the world, try using it with AI. You try using it as your public. And then from there, whatever spits out, you decide, okay, I guess I will read that in public. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's it. That's it. No, I'm not trying to sell you on AI or anything like that. I'm just saying that's what I've been using. It's like I couldn't find a word to say, oh, the reason why I'm stumbling on my word is because I used AI to do it, to generate this text. Well, not to generate this text. Even when I heard people say I use AI to write books, and people assume you mean that you said, hey, AI, write this book for me, generate a book for me. No, it's usually here's the ideas, here's an outline, here's what I'm thinking, and you're going back and forth with this thing, and you're having it repeated to you, and you're like, no, motherfucker, that's not what I'm... Oh, yeah, it's fun to argue with it, but yeah, and having back and forth with it. Look, I'm kind of hoping that I say something that might encourage some of you creatives to find, or not encourage, but more might be a solution to a problem you've been having. That's where I'm going with this. But there you have it. There you have it. I feel the need. I might have to repeat myself on this one here, but yes. Every once in a while, no, I use AI on this podcast to iron out my thoughts.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Last bit of randomness, and I went with the concept of a joke. Okay, I'm looking at the time. Okay, I want to make sure that I don't go over the time limit. All right, I'm going to start by saying that, we'll start out by saying that I used to think I didn't understand the concept of a joke. I even did comedy, and that used to be a gimmick. I remember telling that to an interviewer about I forget how it went. I don't know if I used the word irony. I forget what the back and forth was, but I remember going, yeah, back in the day, I used to not understand the concept of a joke, and now here I am making jokes. But now I'm realizing, now I learned, I do understand comedy. I do understand the concept of a joke. The problem is when you meet an asshole, I purposely use the word asshole, who doesn't share your understanding of what is funny. You would think it would be, you know, you would think you could just drop it, agree to disagree. But every once in a while, you'll meet someone with an ego who feels entitled to your laughter, or even if it's a fake laughter, or doesn't want you to, or they'll feel bad because you feel bad, and then they'll deflect and they'll twist it around into you're the one who can't take a joke. I grew up with white kids, and it was a frequent tactic on their part to like slide in some racism and hide behind a joke. By the way, these are all things all elements I'll be bringing up in today's final segment. So yeah, but I remember from there, because of these white kids trying to slide in racist jokes, racist shit as jokes, and I remember being like, I don't feel like laughing, or I'm laughing only because I know your feelings will be hurt, or I'm laughing because I don't want to get into a fucking argument about what you think is funny, or why I don't think it's funny, or how you disagree with me not finding it funny. I fucking hate people like that, right? Okay, now where I'm going with this is I had like an interesting moment where it's funny, involving two of my favorite podcasts, Black Guy Who Tips and the Three Guys On podcast. On the Black Guy Who Tips, they have a segment, they have a show they dedicate to reading some listeners' feedback, which is kind of cool, man. I love the fact that they give a voice to their listeners, and they'll use all the whole, it could go long, it could go short, but I mean, it's a commitment on their part. Anyway, so one of the comments that they got, or one email message that they got, is someone talking about the Three Guys On podcast. I guess they must have done something together. And it's funny when I think about it, right? But the dude was pissed off at their usage of the word of the Three Guys On, freeloaders. So a running joke on the Three Guys On podcast is they put out free content, and it has like paid content, right? And it's like $3, $3 American, right? But $5 for us. It was $3. and the other one is $5 American to get monthly and stuff like that. It's not expensive, but that's not the point. That's not the point. It's the principle, right? So they have like a paid tier. That's what I'm trying to say. And that's the running joke on the podcast is like you say, fucking freeloaders. It's like they keep saying fucking free. I remember first time I got into the podcast and I just fell in love with them from the get go. And then, but I do remember the first time and I was like a freeloader, right? But I remember the first time. They don't single you out and say, hey, be black, you motherfucking freeloader. It's just a thing. Like it's kind of like when I make reference to, hey, kids, I'm talking to the audience. Well, they segregate their audience. It's the regulars and fucking free. It's fucking hilarious. But where I'm going with this is someone took offense to them using the word freeloader. And Rod read it, right? And he defended them. And he took offense to the idea of, do you fucking think I would be pals with someone who didn't? Okay, where I'm going with all this, right, is I can connect to someone who doesn't know the podcast or didn't read the part that they're comedians. I don't know if they left the description, but they're comedians, right? The more I think about it, it's fucking funny anyways. But where I'm going with this, okay, focus. Okay, hold on. Where I'm going with this is I can understand in a vacuum being like, yo, I take offense to y'all calling me a freeloader, man. Times are hard, man. Fuck it. I'm working my ass off and you motherfuckers are dissing me. Fucking gas prices through the roof. Fucking these motherfucking crackers voted for Trump. I got to pay for all this shit because this asshole doesn't want to release the Epstein file. I can understand. I'm not saying it's right, but I can be in his shoes and taking it the wrong way. Now, for me, the reason why I didn't take it the wrong way the first, cause I guess I'm saying I'm not the person who will tell someone, hey, it's just a joke. Like, just like, come on, lighten up, dude. Because I've been the dude with the stick up his ass and whatnot, right? So, again, I'm laughing my ass off, right? I'm seeing both thoughts. That's why I'm laughing. I'm laughing because I'm seeing both thoughts. I can see, yo, freeloader is a harsh word, and at the same time, laughing at how silly the joke is or how funny the joke is, and it's their signature, right? Okay, where I was going with this is I fell in love with the podcast, and I remember the first time they used freeloader as an expression, and at first I was like, I don't know how I feel about that, but I had already established that these guys are funny. You know what happened? It's the equivalent of when I say, what happened is I accepted the fact that I was in their house. When you listen to a podcast, you're in their safe space. And it's your love it or leave it alone. It's this is why I always frequently sound this podcast. It's my goddamn podcast. It's myself to remind myself, nah, don't make yourself presentable to them. They're the ones who have to take it or leave it kind of thing, right? I'm not being an asshole about it, but whatever, right? But if you're going to listen to the Three Guys On podcast, the freeloader shit is meant to be a joke. But I can understand writing in and being like, how the fuck are you going to call me a freeloader? My baby mama already calls me a freeloader. I don't need you niggas calling me that too. Anyways, yeah. And I'm just, okay, I'm laughing again because hearing Rod defending them, I was like the guy behind him saying, nigga, take a joke. Come on, man. Like, chill the fuck out. It's just a joke. But I understand being on the flip side and being like, hey, I feel disrespected. Someone's got to die. The other thing, too, is, and again, another thing, too, is I'm the highly sensitive type. Now, just to be clear, I'm a highly sensitive type, but I don't make it your problem. Just so be clear, I'm not saying like, hey, when you're around me, you need to walk around eggshells. No, it just means that I'm going to feel shit. I'm going to feel shit more than you probably intended me to feel it. That's really what it means. But it's not into, I don't go to comedy clubs and being like, don't make that joke. I don't think it's funny. And that's not what it means to tell people that you're highly sensitive. Anyways, I just felt the need to bring that up and also the whole concept being concept of a joke is going to tie into the final scene. With that all said, this concludes today's The Randomness. Hold on.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
I like to wrap it up with those words. And let's jump into today's final save. But before we do that, I got to take a quick break. There's some laundry in the washing machine. I got to take it out. You didn't need to know all that, but yeah, I'm just going to say that. I'm actually taking a break. But yeah. All right, we are back. Yeah, I'm not podcasting. I finally got around to adding some sound effects to my sound machine. It's actually an app that I'm using. If you're interested, I'll give you more details. I mentioned it in a previous episode, but I got to remember myself that some of you folks are first time listeners. Which, by the way, welcome. Especially if you click on this podcast thinking I was the other Shut Up Podcast. Just to be clear, they're Shut Up Podcast. I'm Shut Up Podcast. All right. Where was I? Right. Okay. Today's final say. Let me read out. All right. I was going to make this final say simple. I was just going to call it Fuck Kevin Hart. Fuck that nigga as a staff, fucking liberal, that's a motherfucking crew. All right. The thing that really pisses me off, the thing that really pisses me off is Tony, I hate his last name. Hinchcliffe. Yeah, you're fast as shit, that man. I said in English. I know there's an English expression for that one, but I don't like his face. Right. The thing that really pisses me off is Tony Hinchcliffe was never supposed to be on my radar. Aside from that racist joke about Puerto Rico that went viral, if it wasn't for Kevin Hart, I probably would have gone my whole life without needing to Google him just to learn how to spell his name for this podcast. But that's what I get for loving these hoes. By the way, by hoes I mean Kevin Hart, and that's exactly what I meant in episode 340. Yeah, you'll notice there's an episode called Loving These Hoes. I'm talking about celebrities, specifically Kevin Hart. He's a hoe. You's a hoe. All right. Now, just to be clear, I never watched his entire roast. I saw the lineup and knew better. What I saw were clips, reaction, backlash, and worst of all, Kevin Hart's doubling down to defend the fucking roast. Or no, not just the roast, but the racist shit that was said. These two white comedians, especially Tony, what the fuck his faces, said. But what I want to talk about ain't really the roast. It's not really about Kevin Hart. It's not really about Tony Hinchcliffe. First of all, the fuck are we doing allowing white people, a people who had a history of entertaining themselves by watching us getting lynched, tell us what we should find funny? Picture an Israeli comedian roasting a Palestinian comedian. And think about how divided the audience would be. I mean, and I'm talking about like an Israeli comedian who's trying to be funny for his people, but not the rest. That's what I'm talking about. Just picture that scenario. Okay, and sure, white people aren't wearing hoods anymore. Maybe I'm going white because they're still lynching, right? But sure, maybe white people aren't wearing hoods or bombing churches the way they used to. Okay, fine, the Ku Klux Klan. Maybe the Ku Klux Klan. But these days, instead of hiding behind a hood, they hide behind comedy and line themselves up with a racist politician. But let me be clear. I'm not here to complain about the roast. I'm here to talk about the fucking audience. Red dot on the audience. While thinking about Tony Hinchcliffe, I kept thinking about Bernie Mac's famous "I ain't scared of you motherfuckers" moment. Not because Tony Hinchcliffe is Bernie Mac, not at fucking all. And I feel disrespectful putting his fucking name, putting his name in the same sentence as Bernie Mac, but bear with me. What struck me was the relationship between the comedian and the audience. Bernie challenged an audience that loved him for it. When I think about Tony Hinchcliffe, I imagine his fans are feeling something similar. Look at this guy saying what he's not supposed to say. Look at him refusing to back down. Then it hit me. In this case, we're the motherfuckers. When Bernie Mac says, I ain't scared of you motherfuckers, when in Tony Hinchcliffe's case, we're the motherfuckers. We're the people being told we're too sensitive. We're the people being told we don't understand comedy. We're the people pointing at racist shit and being told laugh at it anyways. That's when I stopped thinking about Tony Hinchcliffe and started thinking about the people who made him successful. Not the people who simply laugh, the people who saw themselves in him. The people who were happy somebody was saying the things they wish they could say themselves. That's what really bothered me. And it brought me back to my own experience with comedy. I actually used to think Tony Hinchcliffe's audience, the audience that go to pay to see Tony Hinchcliffe, was the comedy audience. Looking back, I understand why. I live in the city of Ottawa. Most comedians were white. Most of the audience were white. We have two major clubs in our city. One's Yuck Yucks, the other one's Absolute. I think there's a third one, but when I was doing comedy, it was just those two. And those rooms shaped my understanding of comedy. That's how I saw the world. I remember a club owner of one of those two clubs telling me, hey, just because you're black, it doesn't mean you need to make black jokes. He told that to be a comedian who goes on stage with the name Be Black. And I know he was like, this was him like giving me pointers about comedy. And he goes, just because you're black doesn't mean you gotta make black jokes. I didn't take it personally. I understood where he was speaking. I understood he was speaking from the audience he knew. What discouraged me was the possibility that he represented all comedy audience. If he was right, where did that leave me? Then I started thinking about Def Comedy Jam and how badly I started thinking about Def Comedy Jam and how badly Tony Hinchcliffe and Shane Gillis, how badly they would have done in that room. And that's when I recognized something. Tony Hinchcliffe's audience isn't the audience. He's their an audience. They're a fragment of, when I think of comedy and the audience, Tony Hinchcliffe's audience represents a small segment of it. But unfortunately, a powerful one, a profitable one, but not the only one. His jokes don't work in every room, and that audience doesn't exist in every room. And that's when I realized something about the first time I ever emailed the Three Guys On podcast about hating the business of comedy. A long time ago, when I realized like they were a black comics podcast, I started to like share personal thoughts about my experience doing comedy. Come on, man. I was a beginner. And at the time I didn't know what I was trying to ask. I remember it was a long email with a lot of details about my experience in comedy, but I wasn't sure what I was asking. At the time I thought I was asking whether I had to appeal to the likes of Tony Hinchcliffe's audience if I wanted to make it in comedy. Looking back, I think I was asking a bigger question. Who is comedy for? Who is my audience? I still hate a lot about the business of comedy. I'm not taking that back. But maybe the right audience maybe the right audience makes some of it worth it. I don't know who my audience is yet. What I do know is who it isn't. And maybe that's the first step towards figuring out where I belong. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Let me. Oh, man. Yeah, I did read it, but I'm just like, all right. Okay. Hey, I guess let me just one point I feel the need to clarify, if it wasn't clear at the beginning, is how I. Ottawa comedy scene had me convinced that the people who love, in order to make it, you got to be funny to the same people who make Tony Hinchcliffe laugh. Because the promoters here, they were like catering mainly to those people. Sure, there was, you know, there's female comics, there's other black, non-white comics, but the rest of us are considered like novelties. But the business, these club owners, they focus. Look, I'm giving you a long story only to realize that. Bring back Def Comedy Jam. Bring back our own spaces, gang. Right? Bring back Russell Simmons. Fuck that. I meant a spot for us to kick it. Netflix is just, they don't give a fuck. They're hoes, man. They're just trying to get asses into seats. If they could turn a bus crash into TV, they would stream that shit. They just want subscribers and people sticking to it. They, fuck the art. What I guess I'm preaching about is black people, we need our space. Because the only reason we got these white folks in there is for the fucking, you know, it's okay. All right, I'm going on the tangent. I'm going to stop here. But one point is I do remember Bernie Mac having a joke. I don't know if this is irony, but whatever. Had a joke in the Kings of Comedy, and he noticed the white people in the, like, whatever, man. He noticed the white people in the audience. He goes, yo, that's when you know you're successful. It is kind of interesting, right? A drug dealer's destiny is reaching the key. A comedian's destiny is reaching white folks. Because that's when you start making the big bucks. That's when you're into movies, when you have that appeal. But you know what? You know, I had my list of, I wrote a list of comics I felt like made white people uncomfortable. Now, when I say uncomfortable, I don't mean disrespectful, but I mean like you're making jokes we find, like the Boondocks did. I'm talking the three comics came to mind. Paul Mooney, Dick Gregory, Michael Shea, I guess. Chris Rock. Yeah, he's got his... Dave Chappelle used to be that till he went all... I don't want to make another joke about trans folks. Whatever, man. It's Patrice O'Neal. Actually, Patrice O'Neal has a thought. Actually, I won't speculate on that one. But yeah, look, I guess what I'm saying is I get... The shit that makes me laugh, I don't expect you to, you know, I do like comedians that say the real shit that make white people uncomfortable. Fuck it. Say shit that makes black people question themselves, but not like, yeah, George Floyd is dead. Yeah, you niggas had to watch that. You know what I mean? You know what? That dude was just as well of just being on stage and giving a shout out to Derek Chauvin. And that's the joke. I guess what I'm saying is let's segregate comedy clubs, not by race, but by what you fucking think is funny. The thought had crossed my mind of building my own comedy club, but I don't know shit about comedy. Also, I need to, you know, let me see if I can get back into comedy before I get into that. But yes, I think I'm giving you this long story is I've identified the Kevin Hart roast, the only silver lining in it is it helped me understand what I was trying to get at when I wrote my first email to the Three Guys On podcast. Three Guys On usually consists of, bro, currently two comedians. One's white, one's black. But they usually bring on other comedians to that interview. But it's comedians who are usually in black spaces. That's what I'm saying, man. I miss. Anyways, more to it. This was version 1.0, and It'll probably grow. If it says what I want to say, but I don't know. It can grow. All right, I might call this episode, like, yeah, still talking about the roast or some shit like that, or I wish I didn't have to talk to her. Oh, I might just call it how I'm not going to say fuck Kevin Hart, something like that. All right, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. Again, website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts and are protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Who's that blue? Who's that blue?
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec, and also Soul in the City on Much Music. I represent and hold it down for black folks who said yes when they heard Big Rube ask,
"Are you an outcast?"
This episode is rated R and F. The F is for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too.
Bullfire.
Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.